Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. One person, in speaking of hope, said it this way: there is no medicine like hope, no incentive so great, and no tonic so powerful as expectation of something better tomorrow. Another put it this way: take away from man his wealth, and you hinder him. Take from him his purpose, and you slow him down. But take from him his hope, and you stop him. He can go on without wealth and even without purpose for a while, but he will not go on without hope. I think for some people, that's the issue they battle. They look at life, they look at what's going on around them, they look at their possibilities, and they just think, what hope do I have? And once you lose hope, once you give up on hope, once you think that tomorrow can't be better, that's when you begin to quit. That's when you begin to give up. That's when you begin to get depressed and just not want to go on. But for the Christian, the Bible describes hope as the look forward with confidence to that which is good and beneficial. It is the expectation of a favorable tomorrow with God's direction. It is the confident expectation that God will do what he said he will do. And no matter what's going on around us, no matter what we face, no matter how hard it might be, for the Christian, it is that expectation, that confidence, that no matter how bleak things look, God will always fulfill his promises. I want to look at hope for a moment this morning and see what the Bible says about it. Let's begin with this. Number one, without Christ, man has no hope. Without Christ, man has no hope. Again, notice with me Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul was speaking to Christians who were Gentiles, speaking of what it was like before they had come to Jesus Christ. And he reminds them of their past. He says, look, remember that at that time, before you were saved, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise. And then notice these words, without hope and without God. Unbelievers apart from Christ have no hope for today. You know, if you're here without Jesus Christ, I want you to know you have no hope for today. There is nothing in your life that offers you hope. There's nothing in your life that you can say, with all the things going around in my life, I still have hope. The reality is you often have a false hope. You have a hope that things may get better. You have a hope that maybe things will change. But I want you to know, without Jesus Christ and without his promises, all your hopes are really just a false hope. Whatever you base your hope in, whatever you look to for hope, it's really just false. If there's any hope at all, the only hope that you have if you are without Jesus Christ is that one day you might find Jesus Christ. Because all hope, any hope that we might have, is only found in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. There's no hope outside of Jesus Christ. There's no hope that things might get better today without Jesus. Even if things do get better, Hope is only found in Jesus Christ. You can do nothing about your situation. You can do nothing to earn heaven. You can do nothing about salvation without Jesus Christ. I mean, look around at our world, and you see it all the time. You see people, what? They're saying, I am going to be a better person. I'm going to be a more religious person. I'm going to be more spiritual. But without Jesus Christ, all those statements, all those possibilities are null and void. Because the only hope we have in this world is Jesus Christ. He is the only hope we have. There's nothing you can do to earn, to inherit, to make any possibility that you'll have a relationship with God. You'll go to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. Unbelievers apart from Christ have no hope for tomorrow. You know, not only do you have no hope for today, but unbelievers, people who have not come to Christ without Jesus Christ, you don't even have hope for tomorrow. Because the Bible says that you're dead in your sins. Turn with me in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, I want us to look at verse 7. When the wicked man dies, his hope perishes. All he expected from his power comes to nothing. You know, you ever talk to somebody and you ask them about heaven and they say, well, I hope I'm going. But apart from Jesus Christ, that hope is null and void. It is a worthless, false hope. Because hope is only found in Jesus. And when you die apart from Jesus Christ, you have absolutely no hope of what will happen beyond the grave. No hope of any positive expectation that things are going to get better. What happens? What have you gained under the sun? You can't take it with you. You know, every so often I hear about people who've died and they try to take their wealth with them. You know, they're buried in a Cadillac. They're buried with their animal. You know, all those kinds of things. You can't take it with you. Only in Christ is there hope after death. Jesus said, there's no other way to the Father except by me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Bible says there's no other name given under heaven whereby men might be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. Hope is only found in him. Jesus himself said, you must be born again. It's not about being more spiritual. It's not about changing your life. It's not about making yourself better. It's not about becoming more religious. It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the only hope anyone has. Secondly, I want you to notice this morning that even though there is a reality that without Christ, man has no hope, I want you to know that with Christ, man has hope. With Christ, man has hope. In fact, for the Christian, others may see a hopeless end, but the Christian sees an endless hope. We know that in Jesus Christ, there is hope. Turn with me in your Bible to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. Here's the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Jesus Christ we have hope. 1 Timothy 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, our hope. Christ is our hope. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared to give an answer for the reason for what? The hope that you have. The hope that we have as Christians is the person of Jesus Christ. It is in our relationship with Him that is the hope we have. But again, the hope for the Christian is not, I hope so. It is a confident expectation. It is seeing without seeing. It is believing without touching. It is knowing that in Jesus Christ, we have hope for tomorrow because God in Christ will fulfill every promise He has given. Let me say this morning. Christ gives me hope in any situation. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have hope in any situation. Let me tell you something about counseling. We have a few counselors in our church, Tanya, Janet, that have gone to school and got their counseling degree. Let me tell you something about counseling. When you go to learn and to study to be a counselor, the people who are teaching you will tell you this. Before every counselee leaves your office, you must do something. You must give them hope. But I want you to know something this morning. You cannot give hope unless you have hope. You cannot work in someone's life and give them, offer them hope every time they leave your office unless you believe with all your heart that in the person of Jesus Christ, there is hope. Now, you're going to find yourself in situations in life and you're going to look around at your life and you're going to say, man, this thing is so messed up, it is impossible for there to be any hope whatsoever. But as you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, do you know that every situation you find yourself, there's always hope? You don't have to give it. You just have to tell it. Because you know, even in your own life, as you grow in your relationship with Christ, you know that in everything, there is always hope. Let me ask you this morning, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, are you finding yourself in a situation where you say, my situation has no hope? I want you to know every place you find yourself, there is always hope through Jesus Christ. I want to give you a couple examples this morning. And I've got to hurry. Turn with me in your Bible to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. In Exodus chapter 4, we find the Israelites. Skip down with me to verse 10 of Exodus 4. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. It's Exodus chapter 14. There's even hope for me. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. The Israelites have left Egypt. They're heading away from Egypt. They're running for their lives. God hardens Pharaoh's heart, and God decides through Pharaoh, Pharaoh's going to chase the Israelites. So they just left Egypt. They think, you know, we're home free, but all of a sudden the Egyptians are right behind them with their entire army. Verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here in the desert to die? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, leave us to serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Now, what the Israelites say here is only half truth. when Moses came to Egypt and he began to deal with Pharaoh, things got rough for a while, so the Israelites said, leave us alone. But for many, many years, they had prayed to God that God would bring them out of Egypt. Now they're out. They begin to run for their lives. And they look down in front of them, and in front of them, they got the Red Sea. Gigantic sea in front of them. Behind them, they got the Egyptians coming strong. They say to themselves, we can't go forward because the sea's in front of us. We have the Egyptian army behind us coming to kill us. There's no hope. We're all going to die. But if you've read the story, you know the ending. God comes down through Moses. He puts a cloud of fire behind them, not allowing the Egyptian army to come any closer. God then goes down and he divides the Red Sea, performs a miracle, and they walk through on dry ground. The Egyptians follow them, and they all drown. God does a great miracle, and God takes their dashed hopes and gives them real hope. But that's not the only story we have in the Bible of things like this. If you turn in your Bible to 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 6, we find a very similar story. Israelites again are inside the city. They are surrounded by an army. They are beginning to look around them and beginning to think that they're all going to starve to death. And Elijah is standing there with his servant. Servant says to Elijah, you know, we're in big trouble here. We pick up the story in verse 15 of 2 Kings 6. It says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. You imagine the servant's looking around. He says, there's an army surrounding the city. Elijah says, don't worry about it. There's more on our side than their side. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hills full of chariots and horses of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, as Elijah had asked. Elijah told them, This is not the road, and it is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. The end of the story is Elijah leads them away. God ultimately strikes down the entire army, and everyone inside the city was saved. I could bring you to many, many more stories. And you say, all right, Pastor, what does that mean? Does that mean that God's going to come down and fix my situation? Does that mean that God's going to come down and fix my marriage? Does that mean God's going to come down and fix all my kids and get them out of the mess that they're in? Does that mean that God's going to come down and there's going to be a great miracle and, you know, a factory's going to show up in Scranton or Wilkes-Barre and all of a sudden I'm going to have a job? People often say to me, they say, I know God can change things, but will God change this thing? And how do I find hope when I'm not living in the Old Testament when God was doing those great miracles? How do I find hope when I'm not living in the New Testament when God was saving Paul out of a wrecked ship? Take your Bibles, turn to the New Testament, turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Paul says, and we know that God's working in all situations. And if you love God, God's at work in your life, in your situation, and God's going to work in that situation for your good. Let me say it this way. I have given up absolute hope that my back is ever going to get better. In fact, I pretty much know it's not going to get better. It's just something I got to deal with the rest of my life. And there may be things in your life that you're dealing with that are far bigger problems than my little puny back problem. But I want you to know this. Whatever situation you find yourself in, God is going to work in that situation for your good. And you can walk away from that situation. You can say, as bad as it is, as hard as it is, as difficult it is, I know that God is working in my life. And the end result of this is going to be something good. Because that is the promise of God. Now let me say, if you're here this morning and you do not love God, that promise isn't for you. If you don't love God, you have no promise from God that all your things are going to work out. You know, sometimes you hear people talk who hate God, who care less about God, and they're saying, well, you know, everything's going to work out. You don't have that promise. The promise of Romans 8:28 is for those who love God. So if you're sitting here this morning and you can say, look, I love God, I want you to know no matter where you find yourself, your circumstances may not change, but I want you to know God is at work in that circumstance for your good. Now, I don't know about you, but let me say this about me. I can live with whatever I got to live with if I know that God's at work to do something good. I can live through these circumstances if I know that God's going to use the things in my life to do something good, because that's all I really care about. I want my life to count for God. And if you love God, God's at work in your life. And all those things that you're dealing with, God's going to do something good in them. That's the hope we all have, all of us who love God. That's the promise that God has given us. And that is the promise that God will fulfill. So if my life means that I got to go through difficult things and God can use me in a greater way than if everything was great, I'd rather go through the things. I'd rather deal with the difficulties. Because all that really matters is that my life does something good. The end result is good. The end result is something that God's going to do, and it's something that's good. In fact, let me give you a quick rundown. I want you to notice the results of hoping in Christ. Number one, there's perseverance. Paul said to the Thessalonians, he says, your endurance inspired by hope. I know that God's working in my life, even the difficult things, and he's going to do something good. If God's going to do something good, man, I can handle it. If God's going to do something good through this, man, I can deal with it. I have hope. Isaiah 40, 31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Why don't you notice also that it gives us an anchor. Through a tough and stormy world, we have an anchor. This is a great hymn that goes like this. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It also leads to moral purity. I have the hope that one day Jesus is going to return. And because I know that Jesus is going to return, because I know I'm one day going to stand before God, because I know that, I'm going to do the right thing. Yeah, I was watching this thing about the gangs. It's on the History Channel. It's called Ganglands. And I was watching it, and I was watching these kids, and they were saying, you know, the reason I sold drugs is because I can make more money selling drugs than I can at Walmart. And I sat there and thought to myself, where's the morality? I don't sell drugs because I can make more money selling drugs than I can at Walmart and then run out and sell drugs. I don't do that just because I make more money. I say no to that because I know God wants me to do the right thing. See, there's a greater issue than feeling better. There's a greater issue than making more money. There's a greater issue than things going good around me. The greater issue is that God is honored and glorified through our lives. And that's the hope we have, that God is working in our lives so that the end result is he will be glorified if we are obedient to his word. It also unites Christians. You know, we all have the same hope. The same hope is Jesus. The hope we have is found in Jesus Christ. Al saying, give me Jesus. He's our hope. Our hope's in him. Psalm 25, verse 3 says, no one whose hope is in you, that is in God, in Jesus, will ever be put to shame. I can't stand here this morning and say, you know what, every problem you have is going to get worked out. But I can stand here this morning and tell you that if you love Jesus, God is at work in your problems. And those problems will end for your good. That is not true if you give up hope. That is not true if you say to God, you know what, God, I don't care about that. I want my life to be better. I don't care about things ending for your glory. I just want to be happier. I don't care about all that stuff. I just want my life to be better. I want it all to be worked out. If you are a Christian here this morning, the thing that ought to be utmost in your heart and your mind is that your life counts for him. Is that all the things end up working out for good. We had couples over our house last night. We have a couples group in Sunday school, and we have one in our home. And last night, Connie gave out chocolate cake to everybody that was there. I don't like chocolate cake. So I waited for everybody to leave, and I had vanilla cake. There's this cake called Preferage Farm Cake. It comes frozen in the frozen part of the store, and it's three layers, and it's all vanilla. Vanilla cake, vanilla icing, vanilla cake, vanilla icing, vanilla cake, vanilla icing. And I sat down at 9:30 last night after everybody left, and I started eating that cake. Justin, it was delicious. And I turned to Connie, I said, you know what? This cake is really good. You know, when we look at our lives, sometimes we look at our lives and we say, life stinks. What I'm going through, no one should have to go through. What I'm dealing with is so difficult. What's going on in my life is so hard, and I just feel like quitting. I feel like giving up. I want you to know, if you love Jesus, he's working in your life. And the end result is going to taste really good. Because God said he loves you so much. He's at work in your life, your circumstances, for your good. What could be better than that? Let's pray. Father God, I come before you this morning, and I know as pastor of this church that there are people here this morning who are hurting. Some who've given up hope. some who are ready to give up. In fact, I know there's people in this church that just don't even care anymore. And Father, I know that's wrong. So I pray, Lord, that you might work in hearts this morning. And I pray that you might give hope. I pray, Lord, that you would turn some hearts around this morning. And I pray, Lord, that lives that people here this morning would realize, no matter what it is they're dealing with, that you are at work in their life, in their circumstances, for their good and for your glory. And I pray, Lord, that that would matter most to us. So, Father, I pray that we would have Christian hope. Hope that doesn't wonder, hope that's not bewildered, but hope that is a confident expectation of what you're about to do. Help us to know there will be a better tomorrow because you're involved. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.